Today on Maine Calling, the benefits of walking. Most of us know intuitively that moving our bodies is better for us than just sitting on our duffs. And we know that if we are able, walking benefits our mind and body. But how good is it? Does a leisurely walk with the dog really make a difference to our health? Or do we have to pick up the pace and maybe incorporate some hills? And what about the recommendation to get 10,000 steps a day? Is that a good goal? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will not only discuss the benefit of walking for young and old, but also some good places to walk and groups who walk together. And we'll learn about Volks walking. Where do you like to walk? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling on Demand is made possible by Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn how you can get involved at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth, from investments to trustee services. More at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering healthcare, education, and support to island and coastal Downey's communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Well, it is sunny today, and we know that walking can just be the thing we do to get from point A to point B, or it can be exercise or a chance to talk with friends or maybe clear your mind. Today, we're going to learn about the wide-ranging benefits of walking and get some ideas about where to walk in Maine. Joining me, Rebecca Goldfein, who is a writer, and she created a resource called Maine by Foot, a guide to Maine trails and places to walk. Dr. Carrie Gordon is a pediatrician with a focus on obesity. She is also the medical director for Healthy Eating, Active Living at Maine Health. And Denise Macaronis is the spokesperson for the Southern Maine Volkssport Association. We invite you to join the conversation. Is walking your preferred exercise? Do you have a hard time getting yourself going and out the door? Send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or as always, give us a call, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Okay, Dr. Gordon, we're going to start with you. I think some people may be out there thinking they're doing a whole show on the fact that walking is good for you. No, duh. So I want you to tell us, what makes walking such a good, healthy activity for most people? Why are we underestimating the benefits of walking?
Well, I think, you know, walking, one of the great things about walking is that you can really recommend it very broadly as a something beneficial at all ages, at different fitness levels. I think it's something that people tend to stick with relative to other activities that they're starting. And I think that's, you know, one of the most important things is if we're trying to recommend something for our health, picking something that we're going to be doing consistently, because doing something for a week is not going to be as beneficial as doing something every day, you know, in a committed way over the years. It's almost easier to think of, to make a list of all the it's easier to make a list of all the ways we can benefit our health from activity. It's almost hard to pick an organ system that can't benefit from walking. It's so beneficial. And so it's broad sweeping. And I think that's another reason why thinking about walking as an activity to improve our health is so helpful, because it's so broad sweeping.
So it's not just good for our heart and lungs.
It's not just good for our heart and lungs. There's lots of studies looking at bone health and looking at diabetes, looking at mental health, looking at creativity. It's almost like an exhaustive list, really, that you could make.
Okay. And before we move on, I want to ask you about the whole sort of discussion of the 10,000 steps a day. I first heard this way back when Angus King was governor, he got himself one of those little click-on pedometers and was trying to get 10,000 steps a day. And it's almost become the given that this is what so many people are aiming for. But what we've learned lately is that that number's kind of arbitrary. So how do you guide your patients when they talk about steps a day? And what kind of steps? Are all steps equal?
Well, you know, sometimes when we look at the benefits of walking, it's looked at under just physical activity in general as sort of like a moderate physical activity. But there is data specific to just walking. And I think ultimately we got to try to remember, if you look at 10,000 steps, how quickly you're doing them, how broad, how big your, how long your step is. So you can't always necessarily generalize to say every step is the same. I think picking something arbitrary like 10,000 steps probably isn't as beneficial as getting a baseline of what someone's actually doing and thinking about how they can improve. Because as you can imagine, 10,000 steps is probably somewhere around 5 miles, right? And so if someone is, the average American is currently doing more like a mile and a half or 2 miles a day, shooting all the way up to 5 miles, as you think of as like your only way to get benefit, is really going to prevent some people from getting benefit from more modest increments. And so I think finding out what we're starting with is a more important first step than just saying, I'm going to do 10,000 steps. We know some studies show that going from like 2,500 steps to 4,000 steps can improve our health a lot. And so we don't need to go all the way up to 10,000 steps to really get the health benefits.
And it doesn't all have to be in the same chunk, right? We can go on a 15-minute walk during one break and a 15-minute walk during another break, say during the day, correct?
It's great. And it's true. It's like funny because unfortunately sleep isn't that way. And that's how some people tend to do sleep. Like, oh, I'm going to take a little nap and I'm not going to get all my sleep at night. And we know for the health benefits of sleep, that doesn't work. But for physical activity, we can divide it up and we still get similar benefits if we do it in 3 spurts or 5 spurts. And that another great benefit of it.
That's great. Well, Dr. Gordon, so many more questions for you, but I want to hear from our other guests as well. I'm going to go to you, Denise Makaronis. I've heard of Volkswalking, which I understand is one of the Volks sports, but I have to confess, I'm not really sure what that means. What is Volkswalking?
Volkssporting and Volkswalking is basically a sport or a walk of the people. It started in Germany in 1968, and it was brought to the United States by returning military personnel. It's basically walking for your own health. They're map-guided, self-guided walks, and you have a choice usually between like 5K or 10K. And we're part of the American Volkssport Association, and there's over 180 organized clubs in the United States, as well as over 2,500 walks.
If I join a Volks in your organization, what does that mean? What do I do?
Well, actually, you don't have to be a member. I shouldn't say that, but you don't have to be a member to actually walk these Volks walks, but it's easier to find out what's going on if you're a member. And you participate, it's self-guided, map-guided, you walk at your own pace. It is good for all abilities and ages, which makes it a great family activity. And it's just a great way to explore different neighborhoods all throughout the United States. I just came back from a walking festival in Canada, and I did 5 Volkswalks in 3 days, met a lot of people. Our motto is fun, fitness, and friendship. And it does help all of that. You know, walking with people or walking with your own group, it's just very beneficial, and it's just a lot of fun. But it's a great way to explore areas when you go traveling.
Okay. I love it. And now I'm going to bring Rebecca Goldfein into this conversation. Rebecca, I understand that you have taken this to another level. You don't just keep track of walks you like for yourself. You keep tracks of walks you like for all of us. Tell us about your big project.
Yes. So I've been working on it since 2011. And it was when I was living in a town in Maine and was having a hard time finding nearby trails. And this was well before the era we're living in now, wonderful online trail resources. And I also wanted to learn how to make a website. So I thought I'd make an online trails guide. And initially I was going to call it Midcoast Maine by Foot. And at the last minute I called it Maine by Foot. And so now, of course, I've got this Sisyphean task of hiking every trail in Maine. What I hope the site does is encourage people to make it easy and inspire them to find nearby trails and preserves, or perhaps venture farther afield and find a hidden gem somewhere. And many of these trails and preserves are protected by local land trusts and other conservation organizations. And Maine is completely blessed to have the land trust that we do. They think there's something like 84, and they've protected 2.7 million acres for wildlife and for us. And my website's like a way for me to show my appreciation for land trusts and make it hopefully help other people to connect with local land trusts. And it's an incredibly fun project. It's gotten me around the state. I've seen
Rebecca, how
many.
often do you go on a walk in a new place?
I try to go as often as I can. Unfortunately, life and like my full-time job and gets in the way, but the minute I have a free weekend or a free day, I'm like, where can I go? And in fact, my mom once called the site Maine by car, unfortunately, because I do
Oh,
drive
you have to
quite a
drive so
ways.
many places to explore. I can
Unfortunately.
understand that. I understand that. Hey, I'm going to go to Paul now, who's calling in from Rockland. Hi, Paul, go ahead.
Hi. It's very, very interesting. My name is Paul Theroux. I write books, novels, and travel books. And I wrote a book called The Tao of Travel, which is a chapter on walking. Henry David Thoreau is mentioned. He wrote an essay on walking. In fact, he walked up Mount Katahdin, very early climber. Jean-Jacques Rousseau wrote an essay on walking. Very, very interesting. There's Werner Herzog wrote a book about walking. Werner Herzog, the filmmaker, fascinating book. So my book encapsulates this chapter on walking, but I want to leave you with a thought, which is, there's a line, solvitur ambulando. Solvitur ambulando means it is solved by walking. If you have a problem, you get something on your mind, you walk and solve that problem. Solvitur ambulando. Anyway, this is all explained in my book, The Tao of Travel, available in paperback. I listen to Maine Calling all the time, and I find this conversation fascinating too.
I am so glad to hear from you and so grateful you called in. Paul, I want to ask you about your own experience with walking. Do you walk daily, twice a week, once a week? What, and where do you walk?
I walk around Radcliffe Island, in Maine, walk at Mount Batty, or in the backwoods. In Thomaston, there's a walking trail. I walk there. And and as I say, what I've something about, I mentioned I'm a writer. If I'm stuck for an idea, I work in the morning and I'm thinking, where do I go next? What do I do next? I don't sit and stare at my computer or piece of paper. I actually go out and walk. And often walking offers an idea, or if I'm stuck for it. The other great thing about walking in Maine is the bird life, the looking at birds. And it elevates your mind. I mean, walking is extremely good for your mental health. And I think probably most of your contributors would agree with that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Everyone who is on the panel today is just smiling and nodding in agreement. The author Paul Theroux calling in today to Maine Calling. Thank you so much. We're going to go on now to another caller. This is Luke Bartlett, who's an athletic trainer with Northern Light Sports Health. Thanks so much for calling in, Luke.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell us about how, as an athletic trainer, you work walking in. When we think of an athletic trainer, sometimes we're thinking of exercises that are more intensive than walking.
Yeah. So with athletic training specifically, a lot of times we use walking in our rehabilitation process and our injury evaluation process as well. So we look at people's gait patterns and how they're moving in order to best determine or diagnose what issue is actually going on. And then the old adage of you need to crawl before you walk and walk before you run, we kind of use that or utilize that to make sure that, you know, our patients that we work with are able to walk prior to, you know, advancing them into more complex and demanding forms of exercise.
So, you know, we learn to walk when we're about 1 year old, most of us. But I understand there is a correct and an incorrect way to walk. What is one need to think about when we set off for a walk?
Yeah, I hesitate to say there's a correct and incorrect way to walk, because everybody's mechanics are slightly different based on, you know, the way your body is set up and length of limb and shoe, or the size of your foot, essentially. But, you know, typically the normal gait pattern incorporates a heel strike with your front leg anyway, and then you basically roll on to the ball of your foot, and then push off through your toes, primarily your big toe. Some people are what we would call midfoot walkers, where they don't land with their heel first, and those types of people especially tend to have more issues with the posterior chain or the backside of their calf and ankle, especially in their Achilles, because they place more demand on that. So we have to work with that and encourage more preventative measures or therapeutic interventions where we address that tightness or other issues that may come up because of the way that they're walking.
So would you say if somebody's calves are tight or maybe even a little crampy, they might think really intentionally about starting with your heel and rolling forward to your toes?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Like I said, everybody's gait's a little bit different, but if you're noticing soreness in any given area, you can look at, do something very simple as to take a quick video of your walking gait and see how it compares to what the typical or the normal walking gait looks like. And then, if there's a real issue, you know, they've got a pain or an injury to another area as well, based on your wear pattern on the sole of your shoe, you can kind of determine where you put more force or how you push off of your foot. We have heard the terms, you know, horse whisperer, dog whisperer, animal whisperer, that kind of thing. But there is such a thing, or jokingly a term of a shoe whisperer, where we can look at your shoes and basically tell you how you walk based on the wear pattern on the bottom of your shoe, and then make recommendations in terms of maybe orthotics or differences or different things that we can do to correct any type of misalignment or issue as far as that goes.
All right. Well, I so appreciate you calling in. Luke Bartlett is with Northern Lights Sports Health Program. We do need to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're learning about the many benefits of walking, but also how to do it right and getting some ideas about where to walk in Maine. We'd like to hear from you. My guest today, Dr. Carrie Gordon, who's a pediatrician at Maine Health, who focuses on healthy living and obesity medicine. Denise Macaronis with the Southern Maine Volksport Association, and Rebecca Goldfein with Maine by Foot, a guide to good places to walk in Maine. Share your comments and questions. Email talk@mainepublic.org. Comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Rebecca, what makes someplace a good place to walk? Is it the scenery or is it something else?
Oh, I think a lot goes into it. I mean, first off, if the trail is relatively easy, it might be a little bit easier for most people to enjoy the beauty and the nature. But what makes a walk wonderful if it's quiet and it's peaceful, if the forest is healthy or the wetlands are healthy, if you're with a good friend, or as that caller called in, if you're working out a problem and trying to think about the next chapter in the book you're writing, all of that.
Carrie, I want to ask you a little bit about, and we're going to hear a little bit more later on in the program as well, about walking as we age. A lot of people, have challenges as they age, and they maybe walk more slowly, or have a harder time getting the courage up if they haven't walked for a while. What would you say? What would you say to incentivize folks who maybe are a little achy to get out the door?
Well, I think, one of the most powerful reasons to think about walking as we're aging is when you look at the societies that tend to have the longest, most longevity, the blue zones. And I think there's been a lot of like Netflix and different shows they have on the healthy aging, the areas where we age the healthiest, the blue zones. All those communities are, they have high amounts of walking, and oftentimes like live in hilly areas where they're walking up hills, and so they're getting a lot of that cardiovascular activity. And we know that if you want to get nerding out on the science level, it helps the endothelium, which is the lining of our blood vessels, the very small blood vessels, especially that bring the nutrients into our cells. It helps with keeping those cells healthy and allows our body to heal after damage. And some of those things really slow down as we're aging. And so really, that's probably part of the reason why it helps so many of our different parts of our body. So, keeping moving or getting moving again when you haven't been moving can really help you live a longer, healthier life.
We'll go to Ellery calling from Waterville. Hi, Ellery, go ahead.
Oh, what a great program. Thank you so much. I like to walk beaches, mountain ridges, back roads, woods roads, abandoned railroad beds, botanical gardens. Each of those is emotionally different for me, which I know is perhaps a different kind of thing for most people. But the only thing I don't get emotionally is when I walk up and down my basement steps 15 times. That doesn't do anything much for my emotion. But I was wondering, do the different kinds of walking offer a physiological response, and that, such that they might prescribe a certain kind of walk for a certain kind of therapy or health condition? I mean, when I tell people to go take a hike, I mean it in a good way, really.
Ellery, thanks so much for your call. Carrie, has there been study? Have there been studies on that? Different kinds of walks for different kind of conditions?
Maybe there have been. I mean, I don't necessarily know all the literature on walking specifically. There certainly was a good review out in 2023 in the medical literature on specifically on walking, and it did kind of break through some of the, break down some of the different diseases, like specifically walking on diabetes and how it can improve your, it lowers your average blood sugar, improves insulin resistance, and how when you're looking at cardiovascular health, it's not that it's affecting lipids, it's affecting your blood pressure though. So it's there's definitely some specific medical things that we know are definitely connected, not just to like moderate physical activity, but specifically to walking.
All right, Ellery, thanks for your call. We're going to go to Brent in Farmington. Hi, Brent, go ahead. Brent, are you there?
Yes, had it muted. But thanks. Calling on behalf of the High Peaks Alliance, I had a question for Rebecca. She's going to lead a hike for us this July, and I didn't know if she could tell us a little bit more about the Scenic Seven hiking challenge that we're putting on with her help.
Yes, I'm happy to. I'm happy to, Brent. Thanks for calling in. So we were talking a little bit about motivation, and sometimes it helps to have a challenge or a perhaps a list to tick off. And the Scenic Seven is a guide that I've been working, helping the High Peaks Alliance with, and it's trying to highlight walks that fly under the radar a little bit, and they range from easy to challenging in the beautiful western region of Farmington, Cerebasset Valley, Rangeley. And if you accomplish all seven, you get a patch. And they include rocky subalpine zone peaks with 360-degree views, pristine lakes and streams, roaring waterfalls, wildlife-rich northern forests. And so look for that guide and that maybe little motivator it takes to get out there and explore on High Peaks Alliance website and on my website very soon.
And Denise, you wanted to jump in?
Yes, the American Volk Sport Association offers a lot of special programs as incentives to motivate people to get out and walk. I have several friends who have done 51 capitals, which is the state capitals, and Washington, D.C. And one of the current special programs is the Appalachian Trail, where walkers can either walk or hike just 4 kilometers of a sanctioned walk from the Appalachian Trail in all of the 14 states. So these are incentives for people to have more reasons to walk. Another one is lighthouses. And next year, plans are being made right now by the organizations in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine to do a 3-day walking weekend highlighting some of our lighthouses.
Oh,
so,
that sounds
fun. There
is,
motivation is good. Most folk sporters collect little stamps. They have passbooks so that they know, how many walks and how many kilometers they've done. And AVA recognizes people once they do like 50 walks, and then there's annual achievements awards.
Well, Brent, thanks so much for calling in. On the line with us now is Jennifer Crittenden, who is Associate Director of the University of Maine Center on Aging. Jennifer, thanks for calling in. We've already talked a little bit about the benefits of walking for older people, and Carrie talked about how the blue zones that we talk about, we see a lot of people who are centenarians who are still walking. I'm wondering what you would like to add to that. You know, if someone has trouble walking due to issues like balance or arthritis, is it still better to walk a little bit?
Hi, thank you for having me. Yes, absolutely. I think just to echo some of the sentiments that have been shared, you know, any amount of activity is good activity, and you have to start wherever feels most comfortable to you. So even if that's just a really small win every day, a very small walk, you know, some of that, using that to build up physical activity for older adults can be very beneficial.
Yeah, and what can you sum up what the benefits of walking for older people are?
Yeah, so absolutely. As we heard, longevity is an important part of that. Those who walk and engage in physical activity tend to live longer. It's actually really good for our brain health as well. So as we get older, we may notice some changes in our memory. So staying physically active, and especially through walking, you can improve your memory and help to keep your brain active. And I think what's really important for older adults as well is that for older adults in particular, and across age groups, we're experiencing really what's an epidemic around social isolation and loneliness. So about a third of older adults report feeling isolated and lonely. So walking, even if you're not walking with a friend, and of course walking with a friend would help combat that loneliness, but even if you're walking by yourself in your community, those waves or highs to your neighbor can help you feel a little less isolated. So walking with a friend is optimal, but if not, even just getting out and about in your community can help you feel a little more connected and a little less lonely. So we definitely recommend it for that reason. And also, I think, as has been shared, you know, as we get older, our risk for falls increases. And so anytime we can continue to keep our mobility up, and walking does help with balance and mobility, we're going to see that reduction in risk of falls, assuming that we're walking in a way that is safe and, you know, using adaptive equipment if we need that and those sorts of things.
And Jennifer, I wanted to follow up on that because this is something we learned on Maine Calling a few years ago when we did a program on preventing falls. It almost seems counterintuitive, doesn't it, that the more you walk, the less likely you are to fall. But that's what we find, right?
Yes, absolutely. And if you have experienced a fall, you know, we sometimes see folks who experience a fall and then think, oh, I'm not going to walk again. I'm not going to go out and try to exercise because that will bring on other falls. We don't want to see that kind of cycle where you're avoiding physical activity because of that fear of falling, because the best thing that you do is maintain your physical function through things like walking.
Well, Jennifer, thanks so much for calling in. Jennifer Crittenden with the UMaine Center on Aging. I'm going to go to Patricia, who's calling from St. George. Hi, Patricia. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Oh, morning still. former RN, and I used to work in an orthopedic office, and the knee specialist we had said, anybody that walks for exercise should use walking sticks, no matter what your age, to save your knees. However, I'm in that older age group now, and last fall, I had a serious injury to my hip. I had lifted something inappropriately. I always use good body mechanics. I felt this, I heard this ripping sound as I lifted this thing, but no pain. As I continued to walk over the next couple weeks, my right hip got very sore. Long story short, I had torn the cartilage and tendons in my hip, and my continuing to walk severely bruised the head of my hip and my femur because I had bone on bone. It's taking me a year to get over this injury. Went to physical therapy. But walking funny threw my back out. And the only thing that has rescued me, a neighbor loaned me this huge walker called a Zeller, Z-L-E-R, in which I can rest my forearms on this walker and take the weight off my spine and my hips so that I guess everything fell back in place in my spine and I can walk again. That's all I needed to say.
Well, Patricia, I'm so glad you're healing. I'm so sorry for what you've been through. And I love your lesson, though, that maybe by being willing to try something that, you know, you might be hesitant to, like a big walker, now you're walking better. Indeed, the whole time she's been talking, I saw you nodding and smiling. So do you know people, do you have friends who have adopted a strategy like this, using a walker or some other device to help them get back to walking the way they want to?
I have a lot of friends who use the walking poles. I don't, I don't know too many people with other devices, but it's, it is very important to walk correctly. And, you know, I liked what the man said about, you know, the shoe whisperer, the walk whisperer, about, you know, checking out your shoes, your sneakers to find out how you're actually walking.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Gordon, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever we start a new activity or we start, we change our lifestyles up, there can be some risks, right? And actually, the recent review I peeked at before doing this about walking talked about, are there risks to walking, the risks and benefits of walking? And when you look across broad numbers of people, the risk-benefit ratio is very clear. It doesn't mean that nobody ever has an injury from walking, but I think it's important to also mention that we don't want people to be afraid to start walking because of an injury, because when you look at the overall, at the risks and benefits, the benefits of walking far outweigh the risks. And I think it's really important when you start any activity, if you feel discomfort, it is really important to reach out to your provider.
All right. Patricia, thanks for your call. Let's see. We'll go to Andrea, who's calling from Mountville. Hi, Andrea. Go ahead.
Thank you, Jennifer. Wonderful topic. I can't proceed without saying Paul Thoreau is one of my favorite authors. That was exciting to hear him. So I walk in the spring, summer, and fall almost daily, and I don't do it primarily for exercise, though that is important, but I do it to study nature in all its different seasons, and I find that so rich and edifying. And one of my favorite authors, Johann Wolfgang Goethe, who wrote The Metamorphosis of Plants, is a study to combine with walking and seeing the different stages of plant life and wildlife. And I just wanted to share that. And thank you for your program.
Oh, you're welcome, Andrea. You should know that on June 27th that we are going to focus on paying attention to nature. So that'll be a program that is right up your alley. So, Rebecca, I wanted to ask you something. You know, so many people in Maine would love to go out their front door and go on a walk, but maybe feel as though, wow, I live on a rural route where logging trucks go real fast, or, you know, there's a blind curve, and it's a little scary to go on a walk nearby. And I'm wondering if that was part of the motivation for you to create your site, to show people that there are places that are a little safer and more beautiful pretty close by their homes.
Absolutely. So, right, walking on a trail in a preserve, you're not at risk of getting hit by a distracted driver. And yes, I wanted to help. Maine has preserves all over the state within, I was thinking about it the other day, within probably 5 miles of where most people live, they're going to be able to find a trail, either protected by a preserve or perhaps a friendly landowner who allows people to walk on their land. Yeah, and it's such an important part of my life to be able to walk into nature. And I thought perhaps I could help people, inspire people to find those nearby places, which are literally around the corner of most people's homes.
And let me ask you, Rebecca, are all your recommendations actually trails? Are there other places as well, like routes to towns or...
No, definitely. I'm definitely biased toward trails, definitely biased towards walking into, you know, a place of wildlife and nature. However, more and more land trusts and other conservation organizations and other organizations are making accessible trails. And I was just thinking, perhaps, you know, for people who are a little less steady on their feet, these is a wonderful way to walk into nature and leave the roads and the busyness behind. And I keep a list on my site of all the accessible trails, and they're growing all the time. They're good for everybody and no matter your ability. And that's sort of a wonderful focus that I've noticed proliferating recently.
And that's true. And Denise, I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned that one of the things that Volkswalkers do is try to go to every state capital. So do you have any guidelines for if you're going to be walking in a town or a city or on a roadside? Do you wear brightly colored clothing? Do you have some that, you know, when we have to do their shows on cycling, you know, we recommend lights and mirrors. What do you recommend for safety?
Well, actually, our walks are sanctioned walks. So they're sanctioned, they're safe, they have, you know, a good start point, usually with a restroom and parking. And we do a lot of sidewalk, you know, in town walking. And it's always, there's a deadline. You can't walk at night. You can't do these walks, or, you know, you shouldn't be doing these walks. So I would say that, you know, for safety, definitely, you know, walk on sidewalks, cross at crosswalks, you know, all the simple things. Walk, if you have to walk without a sidewalk, you know, walk facing traffic. But ours are, you know, generally speaking, they are, you know, they're safe, and we're not walking, you know, hard trails. We tell people that Maine does have the hardest Appalachian Trail hikes, and that, you know, really know your own health and your own whatever I want to say
capabilities.
capabilities, that's right. Don't go beyond your capabilities. But I just wanted to also say, as far as the benefits for older people, Southern Maine Volksport Association, as well as the American Volksport Association, we're an aging group. And in Canada, I walked with people who were 85 who were just not walking there. They were going to be actually traveling almost like around the world and, you know, walking, and they still camp and things like that. So I definitely think that there are lots of benefits. And, you know, and these Volks walks, you can do it by yourself. You can do it with a group of people. We do sponsor some group walks throughout the year. But just get out and walk.
Jennifer, if it would be okay, I'd also like to put a plug in for our Maine Health's Walk with the Doc program. If somebody's wanting to walk and they're wanting some company and some support, on the third Thursday of the month from 4 to 5 outside Maine Medical Center, we all meet and walk along the prom. We've just started this up. It's actually a really cool national program because we are trying to help people improve their health.
Wonderful. Walk with a Doc. I've written it down. We are going to take another quick break. We're talking about walking on Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. We are talking about the different ways walking can be good for your well-being. My guest today, Dr. Carrie Gordon with Maine Health, Denise Macaronis with the Southern Maine Volksport Association, and Rebecca Goldfein with Maine by Foot. Lots of calls coming in. We may be able to squeeze you in if you call 1-800-399-3566. Right now, though, I'm going to go to a bunch of emails. Jennifer on Facebook, or actually posts on social media as well. Jennifer on Facebook writes, I live near Back Cove in Portland. It's a great place to walk. If you look around, you might find some fun surprises. There are beautiful gardens and very old trees. The sense of community and public spaces is a benefit. An email from Michelle. The Mount Desert Island YMCA has an ongoing class for knitters who like to walk while they knit. The knitters walk and knit on the carriage paths in Acadia National Park, free and open to the community. Michelle, that is remarkable. I knit, I walk, but I don't do them at the same time. I would not trust myself, but that's great. An email here from Kim. At the onset of COVID, my dear friend Bonnie Sammons and I began Wednesday women's walking, a way to get exercise, community, and conversation in the outdoors. We have added wonderful friends to our group. We cover many great trails in the Waterville and Belgrade area, natural settings, good health, and many topics of interest are enjoyed. It is a toss-up whether we ladies or our dogs receive more enjoyment. And Dr. Gordon, I know that your dog is a walking advocate as well.
Oh my gosh. It's funny because I have back-to-back meetings today and I was like, I don't know that I was going to get my walking because I started earlier than usual, but I was hoping if I got her out for her walk that she'd behave a little better during the show today. But I have to say that, you know, my husband and I moved from South Portland to Westbrook and we had a lot of transitional living over the last year. And because I had to get up to walk her, I think it was just like, it's what kept me sane through the whole thing. And I definitely walk a lot more since I got my dog.
And I'm going to stay with you, Dr. Gordon, because Lisa sent an email. How do I prevent shin splints or treat them if I got them? Good question.
You know, I'm not an orthopedic specialist. I know that it's really important when we start not to overdo it, when we feel pain, to make sure we're stretching, to make sure we're also reaching out to a provider to get an evaluation. And if you're feeling a pain in a specific area that's not moving around, like, oh, I have a hip ache and then a knee ache on the other side and maybe my back hurts a little, if things are wandering, we tend to be a little less worried about being a health problem. But if you're feeling like a shin splint pain, that's like a specific area, it's not going away, that's when you really need to make sure that you're getting checked out.
We'll go to Michael, who's calling from Wells. Hi, Michael. Go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just was mentioning earlier, I was listening to the emphasis on the physical attributes of walking, which are great, but I believe that's just a piece of the pie. There are there's mind and spirit, meaning having a routine, getting up and getting out in the morning to go do that walk, the socializing, the people that you meet, whether it be neighbors or tourists, the spirit. You might see a sunrise, an eagle. There's more than just getting your quads and glutes lit.
I love it. Thank you, Michael. And Rebecca, I'm going to guess you agree.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's there's nothing better than going for a walk. It's so rejuvenating. It's invigorating. Every time I leave a preserve, I feel like I've left an enchanted wonderland.
Thanks for your call, Michael. We're going to move on to Ellen calling from Reedfield. Hi, Ellen. Go ahead.
Hi. Are you hearing me now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, great, great. Okay, this is just a little detail, but a significant detail to me. On the therapeutic benefit of walking. And on the other side of breast cancer, in my recovery, it was recommended to walk while swinging arms to benefit the lymphatic system, since lymphedema set in, which happens with lymph node removal. So I just wanted to say on the medical end, it's, I'm probably going to keep walking and swinging those arms forever.
Ellen, thank you for calling and sharing that. And I'm so glad to hear that you're on the other side and doing well. Dr. Gordon, really, the heart pumps the blood, but all the other fluids in our body depend on us moving our body to get around, right?
They do. And, you know, you can think about cancer and physical activity. There's benefits for potentially decreasing your risk for recurrence of cancer when you are physically active, and when people go through cancer treatments, and one of the risks they have long term is an increased risk for cardiovascular health issues, and we know that walking is beneficial for that as well. So that's, yeah, like I said at the start, I mean, it's hard to almost think of a way you can't get benefit: the mental health, the aging, the, you know, all your organs improve when you get better blood flow from better cardiovascular health.
Thank you, Ellen. I'm going to go to Renata, who's calling from Blue Hill. Hi, Renata. Go ahead.
Hi. Our family uses Maine by Foot all over Maine, and we joke around that Maine by Foot takes you places. So I just wanted to thank Rebecca for her great website.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you, Renata. It's very kind.
Thank you, Renata, for calling in. Let's see. We'll move to Rosemarie, who's calling from South Portland. Hi, Rosemarie. Go ahead.
Hi there. I chair the Bicycle Pedestrian Committee in South Portland. So there's one thing that I haven't heard mentioned, and that's just, you know, the environmental value to just getting people out of their cars. So, we have been finding an increase in pedestrian crashes where folks are hit by cars because we're trying to get people to walk to the grocery store and walk to the library and walk to their local pharmacy. And if we want to increase walking in general, then we have to make sure that we're attending to safe roads and walkways, because not everybody has time to go on a path, you know, or on a trail. That's great, but I just like to walk everywhere I go. So, you know, if we're going to ask drivers to look for them, look for rapid flashing beacons, slow down, put your phone down. And one of the other things that I have found is just that a lot of times New Mainers, I work a lot with people who are refugee and asylum seekers, and they often see walking as just like not really cool because you've sort of really made your way if you've gotten a car. So I really try to get people on bicycles as well, and getting them walking and on bicycles for pleasure, you know. So, I also would just say, like, I think idling cars makes me crazy. There was an idling car today where I was walking. I just opened the door and shut it off. I mean, that's what I do. Because we just don't need to leave our cars idling. So from an environmental standpoint, I just hope that we emphasize that too, and just getting people to walk to where they need to go. And
Rosemary, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it, and really important points to be made. Especially just, we can all use a reminder to always, always pay attention when we're driving to those people who are walking, whether or not they can be on a sidewalk. We're going to move to David in Westbrook. Hi, David, go ahead. And David, please be quick. We're running out of time.
Yes. Hi, Jennifer. A topic dear to my heart. I lead two walking groups every week, one for Sierra Club and one for Ollie. And what I try to do is bring in a conservation message every time. We have so much biodiversity in Maine. It's like a huge museum of, you know, from meadows to woods to beaches and everything. So my advice is for walkers to slow down, find out what's out there. I'm a very advocate for knowing your place. And sometimes we have to slow down and take advantage of serendipity to do that. Walking is very different than cycling or running in the outdoors. It gives us a chance to really experience it. So that's what I wanted to say.
Well, David, I really appreciate it. And David will be our last caller tonight. I know, Denise, you want to get your website out for the American Volksport Association. That's ava.org, correct? Anything that was mentioned today on Maine Calling will also go into the Maine Calling newsletter. Rebecca, tell us how to find your website as well.
Nope, it's just mainbyfoot.com. And always happy to hear from people. Always happy to give walking suggestions and trail suggestions if you want to just send me a note.
Great. And do you take trail suggestions as well?
Yes, but usually I've already done them.
I love it. Well, I really appreciate all three of you. That's Rebecca Goldfein, a writer who puts together the guide, Maine by Foot. Dr. Carrie Gordon, a pediatrician with Maine Health. And Denise Macaronis with the Southern Maine Volksport Association. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can visit mainecalling.org for our audio archive and to subscribe to that newsletter. We will put links from today's program in that newsletter. You can do so again at mainecalling.org. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.